Citing radio broadcasting opportunity by calling WNZK Radio at 248-557-3500. This is WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit. Your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 680 nights.
من كل الذين ينضموا للاستماع إلى راديو بلدي أو الراديو العربي الأمريكي ويعنى بقضايا العرب في المهجر. برامجنا في راديو بلدي كل يوم جمعة من الثامنة وحتى التاسعة صباحا في بث حي ومباشر عبر WNZK Radio 690 AM. صباح الخير بلدي. صباح الخير لكل مستمعينا.
Welcome to Radio Baladi, the first Arab, Middle Eastern and American simulcast radio show. Radio Baladi is broadcast every Friday morning on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Good Morning Michigan. Our call in number 248-557-3300. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Friday, August 5th, 2022, and I'm Ray Hanania, guest hosting for Layla El Hosseini here on Radio Baladi. Here at WNZK AM 690 Radio, broadcasting live in Detroit, Dearborn, Michigan. We're also live streaming at facebook.com/US Arab Radio. This morning, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, Michigan's elections. I want to also talk about some of the things like Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney's hypocrisy. I mean, after Dick Cheney destroyed Iraq in the process of getting Halliburton and all those contracts after they took out Saddam Hussein, he's calling President Trump the worst threat to the United States that we've ever faced. And then we're maybe a little bit about Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, but we're going to be joined with our guest reporter and writer, Ali Younis. Outside of me, and I consider myself the best Arab journalist in the United States, I think Ali is right up there. He's pretty close. We'll welcome Ali in a minute as soon as he checks in with us. We're broadcasting live on the U.S. Arab Radio Network, again on the U.S. Arab Radio Facebook page, and you can check out all the columns that I write at Hanania.com and at ArabNews.com. And don't forget to listen to my syndicated radio show, which is broadcast every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, brought to you by U.S. Arab Radio Network and sponsored by Arab News Newspaper. On WNZK AM 690, 5 p.m. Wednesdays Eastern, right there in Detroit, and also on WDMV AM 700 in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. The show is rebroadcast on Thursdays in Detroit at WNZK AM 690 and at 7 a.m. In Chicagoland, it's rebroadcast in Chicago and Northwest Indiana at 12 noon on WNWI AM 1080 radio. Our number is 248-557-3300 if you want to call in and talk about some stuff with us. And I don't know, Ali, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, Ali, there you go. So I just said you were the second best Arab journalist in the United States after me.
I appreciate that. You know, that's good enough for me.
Now, is it okay to mention you're traveling, right?
Yes.
How is the Arab world? How is everything?
Well, it's on the weather side. It's very hot.
Yeah.
And it's very chaotic. It's very busy. You know, the Arab world is always tumultuous, in a state of uncertainty and a lot of things.
And when you travel, what do they tell you when, you know, you say you're an American Palestinian and you travel over there? What's like the biggest issue for them? What did they talk about over there?
Well, it's the economy. I am in Amman, Jordan now, and it's the biggest issue in Jordan now is the economy, obviously.
It's not Mensef?
No, it's not Mensef. It's the economy, you know. And believe it or not, you know, people complain a lot about jobs and economy, but, you know, not a lot of people know the numbers. You know, the journalists in the region and the politicians in the region, they always talk about general stuff like stability,
right,
or security, or foreign relations with the U.S.,
right,
or Taiwan, or whatever. But very few people talk about concrete numbers the way U.S. politicians talk about inflation, unemployment, you know, the state of the economy, the gas prices. In Jordan, for example, and I'm sure it's in Iraq the same way, I'm sure it's in Syria the same way, or in other regions, in the Palestinian areas in the same way, very few people discuss that the unemployment, for example, in Jordan, is 50% of youth under 29. It's the statistics, the official numbers is 25% unemployment.
Total.
This is general population. But right. It is
that's 50%. Still pretty high.
It's 50% according to the international, World Bank, 50% of the population under 29. The debt of the country is 30. It's almost $52 billion.
Wow.
Debt. Okay, that's the national debt of the country. So inflation is all also too high. So if you have unemployment of 50%, if you have the debt is so high and the prices is very expensive because of the inflation, and not many people discuss these things. People say we want jobs. And when the government discuss things, they don't discuss programs to reduce unemployment, for example, or how to deal with national debt. You know, for example, the budget, the Jordanian budget is almost $10 billion a year, which is nothing compared to Israel, Saudi Arabia, or even Iraq.
It is always right, it's small.
It's very small. But of the $10 billion, 85, 86% of that budget goes to salaries and retirement funds. The expenditure of that is 85%. So 65 to 70% goes to salaries, the bureaucracy.
Wow. Right.
And so the bureaucracy and the servicing the debt. So
but that's typical of government. I mean, the pensions, servicing debt and salaries in the U.S., I think accounts for almost 45 to 50%. Obviously, yes. It's higher in Jordan. That takes a huge chunk. It doesn't leave much to do with anything else for everybody else then.
Yeah. But the difference is the income of the Jordanian income is $5,000 per year on average.
Yikes.
According to the international numbers.
Wow.
According to the World Bank, it's $5,000 a year.
Wow.
So, and the 85% goes toward the expenditures of the retirees and the pension funds. What leaves for the capital expenditure, which is the investment that should generate income? Nothing. Really, literally nothing, because there's always a deficit between to $2 billion.
Well, when you go out to a restaurant, what do you see? I mean, are the restaurants full? Are the stores, you know, like busy?
Yeah, I noticed if you want to buy shawarma, which is inexpensive, maybe it's around maybe $1 to $2, right? A sandwich,
right?
You know, so a lot of people buy that. It's expensive. So the consumer's consumption is high. And if I go to a cafe, and I was in one yesterday, it's always busy. I was invited to really fancy restaurants, which is more expensive than the U.S. It's always busy because there is a segment of the population, really, it's a very small percentage of the population, but they have extremely high income and they control much of the economy. Whereas the vast majority of the population, based on the numbers of the income, is really very poor.
Do you see that poverty when, like, on the streets, the way, you know, like you might go through Paris or even Chicago? In Chicago, things are so bad. I'll see 4 or 5 people asking for money on major intersections. I mean, it used to be you might see one person that would say, hey, can I have some money? Panhandling. But now it's 4 or 5 people. What's it like in Jordan? I mean, How do you see the poor people? Do you see them?
Yeah, I see. Well, you have to go outside Amman or certain pockets in Amman. You know, how do you figure that they're poor people? Because you see, they lack cars,
right?
They lack employment,
right?
They live in degraded like kind of conditions in
wow.
Like shanty towns type thing. Streets are broken up. They don't have a lot of amenities. This is, if you pile up the lack, the government education system here, it's really broken.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people put their kids in private schools, and that takes up a lot of their income just to put their kids in schools, right? And
wow.
The healthcare, you have to get a permission to from the Royal Palace of all departments just to get an exemption for paying high expensive, you know, surgeries and
so healthcare and isn't free in Jordan.
No,
like it is in some other countries.
It's not free. Education is not free. Everything is privatized, you know. So you know how much taxes they pay here? I was speaking to an economist yesterday. They pay about 26% of their wow. income, 26% for an income of $5,000 a year for an average Jordanian. So this is high. That,
in the U.S., if you make $8,000 a year, you don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
That's right. Terrible. Somebody making only $5,000 a year has to pay 25% taxes.
Yeah.
And my gosh.
Do you know the sales tax here is 16%?
16?
16. I go buy, buy a loaf of bread or I buy a Pepsi or a cent, it's a 16%.
I was going to ask you to buy me an oud, but now it's probably too expensive. Forget it. Don't do it.
And do you know that the taxes on fuel, like, you know, you pay gas. They just raise the gas prices here.
Right.
It's more expensive than the U.S. The tax on fuel is 58%.
Wow. What does a gallon of gas cost?
I got to add it up, but almost about $5-something.
All right, that's a little bit. We're paying about $4.80 here in Chicago.
No, but it's $5 to $6 for a low income country.
Yeah, that's killer.
Yeah, I don't get a free education. I don't get a free healthcare. I don't get a lot of amenities in the U.S.
Oh, it sounds worse. We don't hear much about Jordan anymore. You know, we only see the king every once in a while. And, you know, there's some little news stories about regional stuff, but nobody's reporting about what the situation, what life is like in Jordan. It's horrible to hear that. It sounds terrible. It's too bad.
It's more expensive than the U.S., believe me, you know. So and I'm sure it's in Iraq the same way. In Lebanon, it's even worse in a lot of ways, you know. And the water is scarce, but you know. And what I noticed when you go to major highways, there's a big sign on a major highway that says, "This is a gift, a generous gift from the government of Saudi Arabia." Really?
What was the gift? Highway. Oh, the road was a gift.
The road, yeah, it's built by Saudi money, and there is another gift from the government of the United Arab Emirates. The big hospitals, either Saudi, Emirati or Kuwaiti or USAID. Schools, USAID, US government like spends $100 million renovating and building Jordanian schools for children.
Wow.
On top of aid to renovate the water systems, which is 50% goes to waste, like theft.
It makes you understand why Jordan has to continue with this ruse of peace with Israel, because the United States wants it. Because if Jordan were to break that, you know, to blow the whistle on this phony peace deal with Israel, they'd probably lose all that funding from the West and the U.S., wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think that's one way to put it, because in the same way with Egypt, because Egypt, you know, once they signed the Camp David Accords with Israel, right away they got over $1 billion of aid to sustain that peace with Israel. And Jordan's the same way. But in the Jordanian case, I don't see the government really is trying to build a real economy in the country. What I see them is everything is a donation. Everything, every mega project is funded by the Japanese government, the European government. So what do you do as a government? And this is
like a welfare state. It's almost like a welfare state.
Welfare, yeah, not, this is, does not this, trickle down to the average Jordanian. So many Jordanians on the social media, they always question this model. What the government is really doing if everything is a gift or always a handout for other governments to fund our projects. This is
Ellie, hang on a second because we got to take a break here at Radio Bellity. I have Ellie Yunus, journalist, award-winning journalist, known him for years. Like I said, there aren't many real journalists in the Arab American community. There are some, and I'm not knocking those that are. I'm just saying that, you know, relatively speaking, there's not a lot. It's a handful. There are a lot of opinion writers. You want to get opinion, it's easy. But to get actual factual news, there are only a few reporters. And Dearborn, Ellie Yunus, myself, and a few others. Anyway, we're talking with Ellie Yunus here at Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania. It's August 5th on Friday. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Ellie Yunus. And we'll take some calls at 248-557-3300. We got a bunch of other things we're going to talk about. Michigan's elections, you know, what happened there, and the power of the woman's vote that really came out in this last election. I doubt Michigan's going to go Republican. They're going to hold out during this midterm, and I think they're going to stay Democratic. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Ellie Yunus, right after these messages.
ArabNews.com, bringing you breaking news from across the Middle East and the latest on Arabs in America. Get inside the latest headlines with expert analysis and insights at ArabNews.com. Join over 5 million Facebook fans and over 10 million monthly readers. ArabNews.com, news that matters to you.
Ziad Brand, quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
Clap your hands if you're happy and you know it and you really want.
5-year-old Lila and her mom are on their way home from grandma's, singing Lila's favorite song.
Happy and you know it, move your feet.
A few blocks away, 25-year-old Dylan is visiting friends at a small party. He finishes off his last beer.
Later, skater.
Gets in his truck and starts for home. Mom and Lila turn onto Maple Street.
If you're happy and you know.
So does Dylan.
If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, shout hooray, hooray!
Every 50 minutes in the United States, someone dies in a crash involving a driver impaired by alcohol or drugs. If you're impaired and you know it, don't drive. Drive sober. A message from the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning.
Are your hands feeling numb? Do you feel pain opening up a jar, turning a key? Are you noticing that your elbow and your shoulder are becoming stiff? Or were you recently injured in your arm? Hello, I'm Dr. Albanjit Katranji. And at the Katranji Hand Center, which just recently opened down the street from the Somerset Mall, we can provide you with the latest in hand, wrist, elbow, and shoulder care. Visit us at www.katranjihandcenter.com to learn the latest techniques that we have to offer you. And I look forward to taking care of you.
Visit us in Troy at 1565 West Big Beaver Road, Building F. Or call Katranji Hand Center for an appointment at 248-869-4263. That's 248-869-4263. Enjoy the first Syrian-style cuisine in Michigan. At Damas Cuisine and Catering, you'll find a wide selection of Syrian foods and sweets in our menu, like frikke, poisi, grape leaves with steak, mashawi platter, hot mahashi, char-grilled kebab, shawarma, and much more. Get super fast delivery from Damas Cuisine and Catering right to your door. Order online at damascuisine.com/menu and track your order live. Damas Cuisine and Catering, 28841 Orchard Lake Road in Farmington Hills. Call 248-987-4985.
And welcome back to Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania. On the line with me is a fellow journalist, writer, longtime friend, Ali Younis, probably one of the most insightful people that I've interviewed. You know, there are a lot of journalists in the Arab community, but they're, you know, I'd say the majority, I'd say there is a good handful that are really focused on substantive news rather than, you know, having an axe to grind, like they have an issue and they want to push stuff. Let's just take a phone call real quick, 248-557-3300, from our friend, who is that? Jerry Haba. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Ray Hanania. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Ray, I welcome your guest, the most well-known journalist, Mr. Ali Younis. Good morning, Mr. Ali Younis.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. Thank you, sir. And very nice. I was very happy to hear Mr. Ray. He say, I will have Ali Younis. So he put the sunshine in my morning. So he made my day.
Well, tell us about what did you think of what he said about Jordan? That sounds like you don't hear that much about how tough things are in some of those countries.
You're right, Mr. Ray. What Mr. Ali Younis say about the kingdom of Jordan, which I love it, and salute to the Jordanian people, salute to the His Majesty the King. He's doing a good job. So, you know, what I tried to say earlier, that showed to us, Mr. Ray, Mr. Ali, the United States remain still, regarding the inflation and everything, the most beautiful, great country in the world. I mean, look, free education, free shelter, free medical, free, everything is available for the average. You know, Mr. Ray, Mr. Ali Younis, I was talking to a friend of mine in the Republic of Ukraine, which I feel sorry for this aggression by Mr. Putin, the Russian president. He declared a war against a peaceful country. You know, I talked to a friend, they don't have even fan, a regular fan over there. And the temperature is very high over there. And I asked them, why you don't have a fan? They say, too expensive, Jerry, and we cannot get it. Usually we get it from Germany. But when the people sent fans to the family in Ukraine, the troops, the Russian soldier, the custom, whatever they call it, they take those gifts and they don't reach to the people who they need it. It's a very sad situation, Mr. Ray. An average American here, if he doesn't have air conditioning, he got at least 2-3 fans at home, living room, bedroom, and that. So, you know, we should appreciate where we are living in this great country compared to the other countries, you know.
That's a good point. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
That's a great point.
About what you, thank you. You said to Ali Younis, you are number one journalist, and he's coming the second. But you know what I want to say, Mr. Ray, over here?
Good.
You, yes, you are مخضرم, مخضرم إعلامي, يعني بالعربيك مخضرم.
Yeah,
seasoned.
Two generation, you know.
Yes.
But you know, Mr. Ray, the only difference between you and Ali Younis, Ali Younis, he got that deep voice. His voice, it could shake the mountains. This voice could shake the chairs of the leader in the Middle East. He has that deep radio voice. And
we should get him a show.
Right?
We should get Ali a show.
Right.
All right, Jerry. Listen, I got to let you go because we only got a short period of time here. So listen, Jerry, thank you. Thanks, Jerry.
That's my question, Mr. Ali Younes. Just to tell him, the candidates, the Arab candidates, they should stick to their local media, like your radio, the Arab Voice of the... What Mr. Ali Younes think? Don't you think our candidates, they are isolate themselves? They don't show up in those local Arab media, like Ms. Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman. You know, God bless her. She never come to the show and talk to the people. So I just wonder what Mr. Ali Younes say about those candidates.
All right, Jerry, thank you. I got to cut you off because we got to move on. But thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. So, you know, I it is a shock, though, Ali, to hear about Jordan, because you think of Jordan as the most westernized country, right? So that automatically means it, when you hear it to Americans, oh, they must be doing great. But then to hear about how tough life is over there, that's very discouraging. Because if Jordan is having a problem, I can't even imagine what the other countries are going through outside of the Gulf.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct, Ray. I think the Gulf region is a different category right there. It's a high income country, relatively a small number of population. Everything is almost free. It's a tax-free country. You know, Saudi Arabia now is just reforming its economic system, where it's really taxing some segment of the population, taxing fuel and all that stuff to generate income for development. And Qatar, you know, they increase the prices of fuel, but still, with all these increases, with all these taxation systems, is still better off than a country like Jordan, where the Jordanian population, or Lebanon, for example, or Syria, or even Iraq. Iraq is a country is awash with oil, all right? It's a very rich country. But Jordan, with all its problems, Iraqi people, Iraqi friends tell me Jordan is way much better than Iraq when it comes to services, security situation, education and healthcare. So
there's more corruption in Iraq, and there's more confusion. I mean, the politics there. Saddam Hussein wasn't a great guy. And I'm glad he's gone. But look what's happened to Iraq. It was no natural transition. It's in total disarray, and the violence there continues. We don't even hear about it. It happens so often. It isn't news anymore. It's just terrible.
Yeah. And this is United States. They always say, we want to spread democracy. And you and I know, and a lot of our listeners know, that when it comes to the issue of democracy in the Arab world, it only matters whenever it's in the best interest of the United States of America or the West in general. If it's not in the best interest of the United States to remove this or that Arab leader, he stays.
Yeah.
Right. Because even in U.S. allies countries, you know, they're not democratic. You know, Arab populations in general in Egypt or in North Africa or in the Levant region, they're no democracy.
It's not just the Arab world. It's a lot of the regions. There are not a lot of democracy, true democracies in the world. None in the Middle East. None. I don't consider Israel democracy. Far from it. But that picture that you painted of Jordan is a little surprising. Not surprising in the sense that it's hard to believe, but it's not something that people have been hearing
about it.
Nobody talks about it. You're right. So that's disturbing.
Nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's kind of shoot over to if you want to talk a little bit about the recent elections or that incident in Chicago. I don't know if you've been following that about the boy. He was 17 years old. The police in Oak Lawn pulled over a car that was parked on the side of the road without proper licensing, and the front didn't have a license plate, which is illegal in Illinois. And when the police officer drove by slowly next to it, he could smell the marijuana, the hash smell, which they found later. inside the car. And then, so they pulled the car over, and then one of the teenagers, these are both Arab kids and Muslim. One of them got out very respectfully. He was patted down. He asked him, did you have any weapons or anything? He said, no. So he just stood there. Good kid. And then the second one, the police officer said to him, he saw a bag that looked suspicious. He said, leave that bag on the seat and come out of the car, please. Very nice, very respectful. And the kid grabbed the bag, put it over his head, got out of the car. And in less than a few seconds, when the police officer wanted to start patting him down, see what was going on, the kid just ran and he took off. So the police ran after him. And then they caught him about a block away and grabbed him, knocked him to the ground, and he was hugging the bag. And the police said it was heavy. It looked like there could have been a weapon in it. So they kept telling him, let go of the bag, let go of the bag. And he wouldn't do it. So they started punching his arms to get him to let go of the bag and punching the side of his head, maybe four or five times. And, you know, it's not like he was punching really hard. He's on top of him. You know, he's just kind of punching strongly. And he finally let go of the bag. They handcuffed him, lifted him up, and the police officer pulled out a gun, a loaded weapon, out of the bag. And of course, the Arab community has gone really berserk. They're not, and I shouldn't say the Arab community, a small group of activists have become upset. They want to compare this to George Floyd. They want to compare this to police brutality. I think they're even having a protest in Oakland again today. It just seems like to me that the Arab community, we scream about racism. Everything is racism. And we never complain about ourselves. We never criticize ourselves. Ellie, let's talk about that. But we have to take another break real quick. And then when we come back, let's talk about this case of Hadi Abu Atella from Oak Lawn, who was arrested when he refused to listen to a police officer. And they found a gun and THC, which is a drug that was in his vape. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll return with Allie Yunus right here at WNZK AM 690. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Imagine you're on a train track somewhere miles away. A train is headed your way. You can't see it yet, but it's coming slowly but surely. If you have prediabetes or you're at risk for type 2 diabetes, you may be on the wrong track and diabetes could be heading your way. Bit by bit, the danger is getting closer and closer. So should you stay on the track you're on now or move to make a change and reduce your risk? If you have prediabetes or you're at risk for type 2 diabetes, you may qualify for the National Diabetes Prevention Program in your local community. This one-year program could be the ongoing support you need to put you on the right track. Not only did participants lose weight, they cut their risk of type 2 diabetes in half. Ready to get on board for a healthier future? Learn more about the National Diabetes Prevention Program and what else you can do to manage and prevent diabetes at michigan.gov/diabetes. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
At Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic in Dearborn, we provide effective physical therapy sessions in order to limit pain and discomfort. Top Rehab provides physical therapy care for any diagnosis prescribed by a physician, and we regularly see and treat conditions such as stroke, TMJ, fibromyalgia, sciatica, joint pain, and more. We use a variety of pain management methods, including modalities, soft tissue mobilization, and therapeutic exercise. If you're in need of physical rehabilitation or physical therapy, get the highest quality health care at Top Rehab. Most insurance is accepted, and we're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 to 6, Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to 5, and Saturday, 10 till 2. Call for an appointment today at 313-846-0555. That's 313-846-0555. Choose Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. Life's too short to be in pain. Kashat's Mediterranean Market in Shish Kebab offers a great array of your favorite Mediterranean meals. Meals range from lamb specialties, shawarma sandwiches, and seafood dinners. Plus, they offer big trays of your favorite food and so much more. Kashat's Mediterranean Market and Shish Kebab is located at 32839 Northwestern Highway in Farmington Hills and is open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So stop in or call Kashat's today at 248-538-9552. That number again, 248-538-9552. Kashat's Mediterranean Market and Shish Kebab will definitely leave you satisfied.
When you're looking for the best in optical care, Dr. Imad Nakash is your doctor to see. With years of experience and thousands of successful procedures performed, you can trust your eyes to Dr. Imad Nakash. See Dr. Imad Nakash and his professional staff for your eye care needs. There's two locations to serve you. In Hazel Park, call 248-336-3937. 248-336-3937. In Rochester Hills, call 248-299-3937. That's 248-299-3937.
Welcome back to Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania. It is August 5th on Friday, and we are talking with our guest journalist, award-winning journalist, Ali Younes. Ali, who is in Amman, Jordan, gave us a really bleak, a little surprising because nobody really writes about Jordan that much, at least the substance of what life is like over there. And it sounds pretty rough. But just before the break, we were talking about this issue of this Arabian boy, Palestinian Muslim, who was arrested by Oakland police. And the community immediately jumped on it and said it was racism. Ali, is every incident always racism with the Arab community? I mean, don't we ever say, hey, that kid needs to be punished because he was using drugs and he had a weapon? But nobody in the community wants to talk about that. All they want to talk about was the police had to use a little tough physical, restraint and punching to get him to let go of the gun. What is it about our community? Is this, you know, do you think maybe, you know, you feel that it was, you know, what the police did was wrong? I don't know. But it seems like there's never a case where the community stands up and says, that kid is wrong. The parents should have done a better job. That never happens.
Well, I agree from the perspective that, okay, that kid has, you know, maybe affiliation with gangs and for the Arab community, you know, or using drugs for the Arab community. This is very sensitive because this is not the kind of culture we would like our kids to be involved in. We would like our kids to go to college, get education and have a good career, you know, but not, you know, everybody is, you know, but, can accomplish
but it. But is it the Arab sense that we don't like to acknowledge failings or, you know, I remember I used to visit, you know, there's a problem with some Arab families where they have disabled kids and they put those kids like in the basement when you come to visit. It's like a sense of shame. Do we emphasize the sense of shame and put that over the sense of justice and fairness? You know, we don't want to acknowledge shame, honor killings. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, but in this case, Ray, you know, just to come back to this case.
Yeah.
You know, in the police, you know, there is a perception in the U.S. and it's not, you know, unusual. It's not untrue that there is a police brutality issue here. You know,
in some cases, so absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So a police go ahead and shoot a black kid in the back in Chicago. Or, you know, put their foot and bodies on George Floyd, you know, suffocating him and killing him ultimately. So there is that issue in the U.S. And, you know, we should not, you know, gloss over that and say, well, everything is, you know, everything is good. And because George Floyd maybe was not a model citizen, therefore he deserves what happened to him. Or the kid who got shot in Chicago alley in the back because he wasn't a model citizen. He was not a great guy.
He had a gun. Shot in the kid, the teenager, it was a teenager, 2:30 in the morning. He had a gun. And then he threw the gun at the ground right when the police officer shot at him after telling him repeatedly, drop the gun. He wouldn't do it. And then nobody focuses on the gun. You know, the only time they'd focus on the gun is if he shot a police officer or shot somebody in the public.
But the law is very clear, you know. It allows the police officer to shoot a person if that person presents a clear and present danger. Like I'm facing a police officer with a gun or a knife threatening the life of that police officer, then it's legitimate for the police officer to use that kind of force to defend himself or defend his life. Now, when it comes to Hadi, the Arab kid in Chicago area, you know,
right,
he was punched severely. He was on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Officers were on top of him. So the likelihood that he could overpower those police officers and shoot them, look, the Oakland police chief, who said they feared for their lives, it's pretty slim.
I don't know. Listen, I disagree with you. There was at least a 5 minute period where he could have turned around, grabbed the gun, and shot him. The gun was loaded. It had 3 rounds in it. And when he told the kid, leave the bag on this back seat, the first thing the kid did was he grabbed the bag, put it around his neck and shoulder, and then had his hands in the bag.
The legal issue, Ray, really, is the here in the mind of the people, and I think for the state's attorney, for the Illinois State Police in their investigation, is the moment when the police officers were on top of the kid or punching him. Not when he was running.
That's
not
true.
If
he has his hands under his stomach, he's on the ground, and they're telling him, take your hands off the bag. They thought he was trying to reach into the bag for what could have been a weapon, which turned out to be a weapon. Isn't that a threat? This kid, I don't know, maybe he was on drugs. I saw the kid after he got out of the hospital. He sure didn't look like the brain damage. They said, oh, he had brain damage. He had a concussion. You know, his face was all cut up. When you saw him the next day, he looked like a regular kid with no problems. And it almost sounds like the community is exaggerating what happened to him.
I want the police.
That's just my opinion, Ellie. Yeah. And I'm not disrespecting you, but I'm trying to understand.
No, that's great. We always, a lot of times we disagree on things.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, I want the police to respect the citizen, you know, not to endanger the lives of the citizens that they are trying to protect. But also, I want the police to be protected. I don't want to lose the police, because the police is a critical member of a society that protects a society. But there are bad apples in the police, and there are criminals.
When a police officer does something wrong, I absolutely agree. He should be arrested. He should be charged. You know, sometimes there's excessive force. You know, Laquan McDonald, they shot him 16 times. He was on drugs. He had a knife. He wasn't listening to the police. 16 times is excessive, but definitely that kid caused his own problem. You and I have kids. There are other Arabs who are listening to this that have kids. What would you do if your kid were out in the middle of the night at 2:30 at 13 years old and he had a gun hanging around with a street gang member? Would it be okay? I mean, when is the parent responsible for the kid? When does the parent, a 17-year-old driving around smoking marijuana with THC and, you know, carrying a gun? Who knows what they were doing with that gun? There were only 3 bullets in the chamber, and there could have been 5 more. Did he shoot it? What was he doing?
I see your point, Ray, because you are discussing a cultural point in the Arab community.
Yeah, and that's really more important than this incident, I think.
Yeah, it's because we get shocked to see a member of the Arab community behaving in a way that, you know, he has a gun, he's a gang member, or using drugs in that fashion and runs away from the police, because we would like to think that our community is law-abiding citizens, and these issues of gangs doesn't occur to us, when in fact we have a problem in Chicago. We have big problems of members of our community, the young generation of our community, where there's gang affiliation and people get shot and killed and they are involved in drugs, because we have, let's face it, Arab American families are broken families. Many of them. You know, I remember in my days in Chicago when I was younger, you know, very few Arab Americans were in the gangs. And if they were in the gangs, we're just school kids, you know, but troublesome school kids. Once they grow up, they're no more in the gang affiliations. But now, this case, you know, I was surprised that he has a gun and he was running the way he was, you know, drugs in the car, a gun on him in a bag. That's really tells you something about
The police officer told him, as they were getting out, he said, listen, you know, assuming everything is okay, we're going to let you on your way. We just want to make sure everything is good. Even if he had the gun and left it in the bag, and if he had said, there's a gun in that bag, the police probably would only have charged him with a misdemeanor. They didn't rough him up. The other kid, they didn't rough up. They did nothing. And it's not about the incident, though, as you noted, and I agree. It's about our culture. We don't like to admit. We don't like to air our dirty laundry. We don't like to admit that we have problems. We would like the problems to go away. We don't answer them. We don't correct them. We don't address them. This thing of honor killings, you know, every time a father, it just happened like about a month ago, his daughter was dating some boy. This is in a Chicago suburb near where I live. She was dating another boy. The father got upset. He ended up getting angry and he killed her. Nobody. And then right away, I said it could have been a suspected honor killing because it's about shame. And right away, the Arabs were saying, oh, no, this isn't an honor killing. I said, then what is it? What is it? We just don't want to acknowledge the truth because it makes us look bad. We think it makes us look bad instead of emphasizing the positive, what makes us look good.
Well, this is where I think social services should come into play and discuss the social problems in our community, whether it's assimilation and the cultural differences, because as a culture, Arab culture, you know, Muslim or Christian, they are pretty conservative cultures.
Yes.
What I mean by that is emphasis on family values.
Yes.
And respect of the elders and, you know, and respect parents and education and all that stuff. So, and there's a breakage and loosen up of all these nuts and bolts that put, you know, that makes the Arab culture, put the Arab culture together. So I think we need to address these things in major metropolises in Michigan or Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, where a lot of large concentrations of Arab Americans, you know. But to go back, this does not justify a police hammering that boy, because I had the real issue for me is that they could have arrested him. They could have subdued him.
And, well, they tried. They tried.
They could have handcuffed him.
He was resisting. He wouldn't take his hands off the bag. And they had to weaken his hands so they could handcuff him. Now, maybe somebody could argue that punch him in the head? But I'm going to tell you that if you suspect somebody has a gun, you're on the ground holding this kid, and he grabbed the bag, and then he's covering it under his stomach with his hands. I think that there's a pretty good suspicion that he's trying to get the gun, and there's a likelihood, not maybe a chance, I don't know if it is or not, that he might use the gun. From the standpoint of the police, why take that chance?
Yeah, from a standpoint of a legal point of view, whether the police had reasonable cause to think that they might get shot or their lives might be in danger, the key phrase is reasonable cause.
Right.
Now, a kid is running, smelled the drugs, he has a bag on him that is not in plain view, they don't know what's in the bag. So in their minds, there's something could be up. But he was not facing them. He was running away from them. But he could have turned. Somebody could argue he could have turned and used the gun and shot them. But he was underground. So the argument whether they use excessive force or brutality, police brutality against him, this is, you know, really in the fine print to discuss, you know, to dissect the video and maybe witnesses and the police, what the police is saying. For me, the police needs to be protected. But I, as a motorist or as a driver, a police stops me, I need to tell the police, signal to the police, hey, look, I am not a threat to you.
Right.
He's my hands on the steering wheel.
Would you run? Would you have run, Allie? Would you have run?
First of all, if I would run, I mean, they will catch me maybe in just a couple of, you know.
They're certainly going to catch me. I wouldn't have gotten as far as that kid.
Yeah.
Listen, we have to take our last break. And then when we come back, we could talk a little bit more about this or even some of the elections. I'm on with a friend and journalist, award-winning journalist, Allie Yunus. He's in Amman, Jordan. We've had a great discussion earlier about the situation there, the economic situation in Jordan. It's much worse than most people even realize, I think.
I want to tell you, before we go to the break, that in Jordan, there's a big drugs problems as well. Big gang issues, big extortionist. A lot of stuff happened, has changed, you know, in this country. Whereas, you know, they borrow from, you know, there's a lot of access to YouTube and international media. So a lot of things happening here as well, similar. So you think I want to bring my kids from Chicago to raise them in Jordan or Syria or Lebanon, Iraq, because, you know, and we are more wholesome here. No. They're not.
Wow.
There's a lot of gang problems and drugs problems.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Ali Younis. I'm Ray Hanania. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Life is a nonprofit charity that's provided humanitarian aid and development to people and communities for over 25 years, regardless of race, color, religion, or cultural background. When disaster occurs here or around the world, Life for Relief and Development rushes in to provide food, medical aid, and shelter to those in need. Please help improve these efforts. Make your tax-deductible donation to Life now at lifeusa.org or call 248-424-7493.
Are you going to start a restaurant or a grocery store soon? Do you need floor plans and designs? Call Najee Abood at 734-744-9796. Do you want to buy kitchen and restaurant equipment at discount prices? Call Najee Abood now, 734-744-9796. New concept products and design, the trademark of kitchen equipment. 5% discount on all purchases of $75,000 or more. New concept products and design, new location, 31185 Schoolcraft in Livonia. Learn more at www.newconceptproducts.com. Call Najee Abood, 734-744-9796.
When it comes to reproductive medicine, IVF Michigan Fertility Centers are the recognized leaders. With locations in Bloomfield Hills and five other cities in Michigan and Ohio, IVF has experts in all aspects of the field. As a founding member of IVF Michigan Fertility Centers, Dr. Nicholas Shama is one of the leading reproductive endocrinologists in Michigan and Ohio. Dr. Shama has performed over 10,000 IVF cases and has helped thousands of couples fulfill their dreams of parenthood. American board certified in both obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive endocrinology and infertility, Dr. Nicholas Shama is a very caring, compassionate, expert physician that understands not only the medical but also the emotional toil of infertility on his patients. When it's time, get personalized care from Dr. Nicholas Shama at IVF Michigan Fertility Centers in Michigan and Ohio. Call toll-free 855-952-9600, 855-952-9600.
Get ready for an amazing experience at Ishtar Restaurant on 15 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. Enjoy excellent hospitality from owners Ali Abagdadi and Fatty Bonham, serving the best in Mediterranean food. Try Chef Ali Abagdadi's famous shawarma, the best Iraqi grills and food, and the best Arabic and international dishes. Dine in our authentic atmosphere or take out. Call 586-698-2585 or check us out on Facebook. Ishtar Restaurant practices all CDC guidelines and is open every day 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Have an amazing experience today at Ishtar Restaurant, 3625 15 Mile Road, Sterling Heights.
And welcome back to Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania. We were talking with Ali Younis. Ali, give us your Twitter handle. What is it again?
It's Ali_reports, R-E-P-O-R-T-S, at Twitter.
At Ali_reports. If you want to follow Ali Younis and all his great writing. Ali, listen, thank you for joining us, okay? We're going to talk to you again soon.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Thank
all
you
right, buddy. Me. And be safe there in Amman. I'm worried. Now I'm worried. So, talk to you later. Bye. So we only have a few more minutes, everybody. But I have to say, one of the things that I did this past week was to interview Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud. What a great guy that guy is. I wrote a nice story about him. And it's a nice story because he's a good person. What's fascinating about Mayor Hamoud is he understands government. You know, he was a state legislator for a couple terms, and then he won the mayoral election. And I've covered mayors in Chicago, seven of them from daily to daily for over 18 years. And I have to say that, you know, I met some really terrible mayors. But if Abdullah Hamoud were the mayor of Chicago, he would be a great mayor because he knows the issues. It wasn't about screaming about Palestine or Lebanon or the Middle East. You know, I mean, when you're a mayor of a municipality in the U.S., your first priority has to be what's in the best interest of your constituents. And I think that's his priority. But while he's very proud to be Arab, too, he is really, he's committed himself to ensuring that everybody is a part of the system. And that was very impressive to me. So if you go to ArabNews.com, look that story up. You can see this great profile that I wrote with him. And there's some audio clips on it that I think you might find interesting. You can always go to ArabNews.com/radio show. And you'll see all the podcasts from our radio show that we do every Wednesday at 5 p.m. On right here at WNZK AM 690, Wednesday at 5 p.m. And then it's also broadcast in Washington, D.C. And on Thursdays, it's broadcast in Chicago. We talked about some interesting stuff today. I wanted to get in there. I'll tell you, Rashida Tlaib, she really kicked butt, two-thirds, 60-some percent. That's a landslide victory for her in a new district. So she has a strong base, and she is a good voice for the Palestinian cause, for sure. Sadly, there are only like 9 or 10 solid members of the 435-member Congress who really stand up for justice, that the most they can get is about maybe 25 or 30 votes for issues that involve Palestine that the Israelis don't want you to talk about. The Israeli AIPAC, the lobby, helped take out Andy Levin as a congressman, but in all honesty, it was more about his, we talked with Dennis Deno earlier in the week, and he pointed out that Levin may have made a mistake. He should have gone into the other district and run there. And he ran against Marlinga, who is very popular, very well known. And I'm not even sure it was AIPAC that undermined Levin. I think it really was the fact that Marlinga was a stronger candidate and had a stronger base and better name recognition in that region. And then, of course, there was Haweda Arif, who really did so. What a smart person she is. She's the kind of all around good person. Justice, fairness, human rights, civil rights, and issues in the community. She had everything. But the one thing she didn't have was a lot of money, unfortunately, in her district. She did not win. And I was saddened to see that she didn't get as much support as I think she deserved. I think she, Haweda Arif, has a great future, and I'm looking forward to seeing her do many, many more things, especially in terms of American politics. I think she's a reasoned voice, and she can do some great things, and I hope and I'm sure she'll continue to be active in Michigan. So there's a shout out to Haweda, who I think probably out of all the candidates that ran in this last election in Michigan, I really was hopeful that something would come her way, because she would have been a great addition to the giving the Arab voice a strong basis of support. And I see her in the same way I see Mayor Abdullah Hamoud, just a smart person. This new generation of Arabs, Haweda Arif, Abdullah Hamoud, several of these other ones, I think they really bode well for the Arab American community. They make us part of the community, and at the same time, they speak out for our rights. Anyway, listen, if you want to get more on me, visit rehanania.com. H-A-N-A-N-I-A, rehanania.com. You get to read all my columns if you want. You can subscribe to my columns. And I want to thank our guest, Ali Younis, an award-winning journalist, for joining us, talking about Jordan and also talking about that Oaklawn case where a boy was with a gun and who had drugs was beaten by the police there. I'm Ray Hanania. We will talk. Actually, I'll be back here next Friday. So you have a great week, and I'll talk to you later, everybody. Bye-bye.